2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Joining us now in studio is Natasha O'Brien. Now, Natasha was brutally assaulted in 2022 by the now jailed former soldier, Col Grotty. The assault was just the start of a series of events that has continued to affect her life. And it is depicted in a powerful new documentary, Natasha, on RT1 on Wednesday. Natasha, thank you so much for coming in and joining us in the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura.
Natasha, how were you feeling in the moment that you heard that your attacker was finally going to be jailed for what he did to you?
I was just so overwhelmed and I couldn't believe that actually I had been heard and I was being taken seriously. But I never anticipated him actually going to jail. Mm-hmm. So seeing that and not having mentally prepared for that, I just felt really guilty, I knew that, like, you know, I didn't deserve what he did to me, but at the same time, I still felt like, you know, he's not the only perpetrator in the world, and he's been vilified so much. So, like, he is now a victim of the system too.
I know.
You know, I'm the primary victim, but he's a secondary victim now because of that. So, like, it was hard because, like, I'm like, you know, he has suffered now a lot because of the public outroar, and understandably so, but that's the system's fault, like, you know. And but I do feel a lot of guilt for that. That, like, if I hadn't spoken out, maybe he might have had, like, you know, his life might not have been ruined. You know, that's how I feel. Like, oh, I'm after ruining his life.
Talk to me about that night.
Yeah. So I was walking home from work with my friend Shauna, and we were walking up to the taxi rank on O'Connell Street, Limerick, and there was a group of males, and my attacker was in that group of males. They were in front of us, and there was one male by himself on the other side of the road. Mm. And these males, they were shouting homophobic abuse and homophobic slurs across the road at this one guy, and they were just being really threatening and aggressive. And me and my friend, we didn't even think for a split second, like, we didn't even acknowledge them with each other. My friend and I were just like, ah, lads, leave him alone. Do you know, because you just think, ah, look, they're only young ones and they're just trying to upset him. And, you know, we don't want that to escalate. So just tell him, ah, leave him alone. He's not. And that's when it, like, I was met then with that escalation that we were trying to de-escalate.
Yeah. So, like, let's talk about that, because I don't actually think that people know the extent of your injuries and the state that you were left in.
Mm. When we tried to intervene and say, leave your man alone, then my attacker then came towards me and was just absolutely furious, wanted to shut me up, I suppose, and grabbed onto my head and held my hair and started, like, punching me repeatedly in the face, and then, like, right hook after right hook, and then I, like, hit the ground and I curled up into, like, the fetal position to try to, like, cover myself. And then I was just slowly losing consciousness as he was continuing to beat me. And then my friend Shauna, who was there frozen in fear, was just screaming for help, and then a passerby ran down and pulled him off me. But then obviously after that I had a severely broken nose. I had like swollen eye, swollen, like, everything was just bruised all over my body, different places. And then I was really concussed. And a month after the attack, my doctor had to order a head CT scan because I was, like, a high risk for brain bleed because I was still getting persistent concussion symptoms. So it was, like, probably 3 months until I felt like my head wasn't fuzzy and dizzy all the time. You know, it was like waves of it all the time. So it was like I was living with that for about 3 months.
And that's just the physical.
That's just the physical.
The mental side of this is something that you will be fighting for your whole life. And, you know, I know you're doing the work now to speak about it, but, like, it, I just don't think people realize.
No.
It's like, it's not a, like, that happened then and you're okay now.
No.
Because you're presenting okay physically.
Yes.
It's like internally, you know, you were very afraid for a long time. I just want to talk about you and your friend, though, because you managed to track him down on social media.
Yeah.
Like, who and, like, what? Like, how? What was the process for this?
I suppose my friend recognised one of the males in that group of 5-6 males. She kind of recognised him. She was like, I think he went to that school. So we looked him up and we were like, okay. And so we're going through his friends and photos and tag photos and onto his friends' pages and tag photos of his friends. And, like, we just kept scouring. And then eventually we got this group photo on Visco, and he was, my attacker was in the middle, and I just immediately knew. I was like, that's him, because we were sending each other photos over and back being like, that kind of looks like him, oh yeah, that kind of looks like him, oh that, and but they were all like, oh no, he's a bit, you know, his eyes are a different color, oh his hair's a bit too dark.
Yeah.
And then that was him staring at me, and I went onto his account, and it was like Defence Force uniform. And a couple of weeks later, I received a text off a friend who was like, you are never ever able to tell anyone this came from me.
Okay.
But you need to tell the guards about this group chat, because there are some messages in there that the guy that attacked you is he's bragging about attacking you. And that's all I knew. I didn't know like what it was, what the quote was.
Yeah.
And I didn't find that out until I was in court. You know,
so and sorry, then, when you were in court, that's when,
yeah, that's when I found out
you.
The quote. Like, you know, I knew there was messages that were incriminating in the group chat. Like my friend said that, like, they're all slagging him in the group chat, and like he was bragging then in it, and just tell the guards to check his Snapchat. And I was like, okay. And it wasn't until then last year that I found out what the actual quotes were: two to put her out, two to put her down.
Which I think everyone in the country knows at this point, because it was so heavily reported at the time. And I just, you know, there's absolutely no excuse for what he did to you, but it's the bragging of it afterwards that it was intentional. And
yeah.
I think that's the bit that is so terrifying about it all. Natasha, speaking of court, I know you briefly mentioned it at the very beginning, but like the outcome obviously was not anywhere near what you wanted. But what was the verdict?
Suspended sentence, because if he received any time, he would lose his job in the army. Like, I have lost everything.
Yeah.
I'm literally back at home. I'm 24 years of age, and I had to move back to my mother's last year because I was depressed and literally on the verge of, like, I was just on the edge. I was just at like my wit's end, and you know, and I had to move home. I had to go on illness benefit because I couldn't work because I was so unwell. And like, he's trying to save his job. I was just furious. I was furious. I was like, my entire life is less important than his job. Are you serious?
And why would we want someone in the Defence Forces who would do something like this on a night off?
Yeah. It's a peacekeeping force. Irish Defence Forces are a peacekeeping force. That's not very peacekeeping of them.
In the slightest. And I just think that I mean, it enraged me. It enraged everyone that I know that it was the verdict.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your mom for a second, because she heavily features in the documentary, because, you know, obviously you can see the two of you are the best of pals, and it cannot have been easy for her to watch you go through this. I know that you're laughing at this.
Best of pals, the way
but in the way that you're best of pals with your mom, you know, what I mean? It's like she's your person.
Frenemies.
Yeah. Especially when you're in your early 20s. But like, your mom does speak about how she watched this change you, and about how your relationship suffered during this too, because she was trying to do what any mother would, and it was like snap you out of this, you know, this depression that you were in.
Yeah.
And I think it's a generational thing as well. Yeah. It's a let's get on, let's get through this, let's go with it. You know, this is what happened and we just have to move on.
Yeah.
Whereas you were very much like, I am in the middle of a movement right now and I'm not going to stop.
No.
And it caused a bit of friction in your relationship.
Definitely. I think literally the whole experience of being attacked and then feeling so isolated, like no one understands what I'm going through. You know, I felt so alone. And then also being in the dark in the system, not knowing what was happening there, you know, just so much that like, and then my mom, like obviously I moved home, I was so depressed. My mom is obviously so worried about me. She wants me to live and be healthy and happy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. And so, you know, it was actually really difficult, Laura, like when we started filming the documentary, because like, you know, my director, she was Kathleen, she's incredible. She was like asking me, because I think she said I want to paint a picture of who you really are, you know, because there is Natasha O'Brien in those headlines and you've seen snippets of in the media and the news. But then there's Natasha, the person, and that's a big, complex picture. And I want to paint that picture and see the different areas of your life that create you and make you and support you. So I want to explore your relationship with your mom. And I was like, please, no.
It's really
hard. I was like, I don't, like, because I really wasn't sitting down and having a lot of conversations with my mom.
Yeah.
You know, I had pushed her away and kept her at arm's length because I just didn't want to rely on anyone. I felt like I'm the only person I can rely on right now, you know. And that's just a trauma response. And so filming the documentary, you know, my director pushed me to kind of have more vulnerable moments with my mom that I probably wouldn't have pushed myself to do if not for her. And like, so I was like thanking her last week for like helping me to respect and see my mom in a new light, that she was also struggling. And what happened to me also happened to her inadvertently, and it affected her, and there was a ripple effect, and that I wasn't the only one, because I really felt like I'm the only one going through this. Like, you don't have a right to be upset and traumatized. Like, it's my trauma. But no, it did affect her.
And you're her child.
Yeah. And she like wanted to do her best, but sometimes she was just trying. She was confused and scared. I'm like, you know, so, you know, it was really like eye opening, and like it gave me a new appreciation for her.
Yeah.
And like, you know, she's trying her best, you know, and I couldn't see it. I was just like, no, she's just trying to control me, and she's been frustrating, and she's just so annoying when she just leave me alone. But really, she just cares about me, and she just sometimes cares about me in the way that I don't want her to, but it's the way she does. So, you know.
Your case was so extreme, right? It was a total stranger. It was so violent. There were so many witnesses. There was good CCTV. Did you feel when you were speaking out as well that you were speaking out for others with less evidence who might not even know who their attacker is, or could be living with their attacker as well?
Yeah, like this is like, this is probably like, it's probably the reason, it's probably most of the reason why I have spoken out, because I don't take it for granted that I survived. And I feel like, you know, this has happened to me, and there are so many people that weren't lucky enough to be in, like, and I use that word, I use that word all the time, Laura. I say I'm so lucky. I'm a lucky victim, because I was in a crowded, populated area with on a main street with CCTV, and, you know, and somebody was there to intervene and stop it from becoming fatal.
Yeah.
And like, and then I'm so lucky that there was all this evidence that, like, you know, I could actually get to a courtroom, because there are so many victims that can't, you know, like, you know, with the domestic violence and sexual assault, a lot of the time it's behind a closed door and there's no cameras, you know, and like, that's the reality. And so like, it's like, there are so many that were not so lucky to have someone intervene, and there are people that are still here suffering and do not have any evidence. And then there are also so many victims that are get in and out of the, and get it passed around in the system. And so it's just so important that, because I am able to, and I have the ability, and I actually still have a voice today, and I'm still here, it's like, okay, you just have to do this, like, because you're so lucky. And that's, I feel I'm lucky, even though something really unlucky happened to me, I still feel lucky for how I've come out of that.
Where are you now? Like, how is your life? You know, the documentary has been filmed. It is coming out tomorrow night. And like, that's about to go out into the world now. But what does your life look like? Are you back working? Would you say you're kind of a nice, lovely, boring life?
imagine. Well, like, the appeal was in at the end of January.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I've been filming, like, you know, I started working on the documentary last July, August. And then, you know, I only finished filming April, May.
Yeah.
I took like the last month, because I knew this was coming out, and I knew, like, you know, I'd really want to, like, talk about it and share it and, you know, get that message out to, you know, I suppose it's the things that I explore in the documentary are, like, so important, and people need to understand that more. And I've only learned those things because of my own experience, and I want people to learn them without having to experience it, you know, just learn it from my experience instead of you having to go through that, because I wouldn't want you to have to feel like that. So, you know, I'm just, like, taking a breather at the moment.
Yeah, and you deserve a breather, Natasha. You really and truly do.
Yeah, but I do. I feel like we really got to the core and the heart of victims and what a victim needs and what a victim goes through, and the complex, and what, how complex trauma is. And, you know, how I might look great when I'm on, you know, I might look like I'm fine and I'm over it when I'm here sitting here chatting to you, but you don't see the days where I can't get out of bed for a week, you know. And so I thought that was really important to show, that you might I might look okay, but you don't understand how much energy it takes to get me here, and then how much energy after, and like, that's the effect. And so we only got there, and I have so much more that I want to do. So I've been talking to my producer about maybe going and doing another project, because I just felt like this was really, really positive.
Yeah.
And I wasn't focusing on the past. Like, yeah, I tell my story. There's 10 minutes introduction. What happened? What are the details? But then it's all, okay, let's move on. Let's move forward. Let's ask new questions. Let's stop going around in circles. Let's support each other. Let's empower each other. Let's inspire, you know. And so that was really what I wanted to do. I wanted to do something that would be impactful and not complaining, negative, depressing, something hopeful. And so now that I've done that and I feel like, you know, I'm so proud of it. It's so amazing. Yeah. I can't believe it. I'm like, okay, I want to do more, you know. So I know. Early days of a new project.
You were incredibly strong to be able to share your story and to live through this, you know, every single day, trying to film it and show it to people what was happening in real time that was hard enough to do without a camera crew in front of your face. But thank you so much for doing that. The documentary is brilliant. It is on RT1 at 9:35 tomorrow, Wednesday, the 25th of June. It is titled Natasha. And I really hope that everybody sits down and watches it. Natasha O'Brien, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for
having me. After these.
2FM Mornings.
With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.